Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
It's Shake Them Ropes. We are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. My name is Chris Novembrino. I am joined, as always, by Jeff Hawkins, or should I just say Hawkins? I'm shortening your name.
Well, they already have a Curtis Hawkins, so it may, or a Kurt Hawkins, so it may just be Jeff.
If we're going with the Mustafa Ali name change, though, you lose your first name.
Oh, wait.
Just like Antonio Cesaro, right? He was Antonio Cesaro, and now he's just Cesaro. So you're now just Hawkins, and I'm just Novembrino, and in a couple of weeks, it'll just be
Well, they did that with Antonio Cesaro. They did that with Adrian Neville. They did that with Andrade Cien Almas. And they've now done it with Mustafa Ali. I tell you something, it's interesting. The only time they've ever gone the other way is when they put Flair back on Charlotte's name. And I think they realized that people with two names are seen as much bigger deals and are much more real people. I do.
You know what I think it is? I think it's kind of a conceit that without the Flair name attached to Charlotte, you're not necessarily going to have that alpha top of the card draw power with her. You need to remind people that she's a Flair.
I am going to say that the Mustafa Ali minus Mustafa thing might be cultural / racial in nature. I do. I mean, Ali, you could say, well, like Muhammad Ali, he's the greatest. But Mustafa, well, that might have some negative connotations, damn it.
I'm interested to know how Mustafa Ali feels about this decision, because that's sort of the big thing to me. He is very hands-on with his character and with his presentation, and I would hate for someone to have come up to him and just been like, well, you know, the name Mustafa makes some people uneasy, and for him to have been forced into this.
Yeah, I think he tweeted something, you know, something that kind of alluded to, well, you know, it is what it is, guys, but I'm still, you know, a great performer, et cetera, et cetera. Before we get too much in the weeds, in a few minutes, and I will give you all ample warning, this show of Shake Them Ropes is sponsored by BlueChew.com. We thank them for their sponsorship. I will give ample warning for those few people who ride in the car and listen with their kids.
Sensitive ears might not be interested in that part.
Although now I just realized the kids will be going, Daddy, what is he talking about? It's like, oh no, I've just whet their appetites. Oh boy. We are less than 2 weeks away from WrestleMania, Chris, and champions are losing all over the place to build. We're sacrificing our entire mid card to build people. But the women's triple threat has been confirmed as going on last, so that is progress.
I'll tell you what, if I was a part of the mid-card cannon fodder over these last two nights of shows, I'd be very worried about cuts after WrestleMania.
You know what? I used to say that, but then you realize they don't want them going anywhere to be stars, so they'll just use them as the cannon fodder here. My favorite thing was, Vince gets to have a gang of, you know, Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, The Bar, etc. Shane McMahon's gang is Shelton Benjamin Insanity. It's
almost... Who was the other guy standing next to Shelton Benjamin?
I was kind of keeping one eye while listening, so I didn't get a chance to see. You want me to pause and go take a look?
No, it's not really that important of a thing to do. Let's get into what happened on Raw here, shall we?
Yeah, I'm. I understand what they were doing with the Beat the Clock Challenge. I just didn't understand it as a storyline convention. What was the point?
I don't know. It was, I guess, to show who had the advantage going into WrestleMania. But why do we need to show who has the advantage? I thought it was clever to get Ruby Riott out of there with, like, effectively a win without actually giving her a win. Like, she was able to hang on for the duration of the match and show that she's the strongest of the three. But I found this to be confusing. Why do we need this stipulation?
There was nothing at stake, which is my problem, other than bragging rights. And it was all based on the Ronda Rousey UFC career where she'd beat someone in like a minute and a half and it'd be good. But, you know, I thought, okay, whoever wins the Beat the Clock Challenge, what doesn't, I mean, there's nothing correlating.
But that kind of leads us into the next match, too. The 2-on-1 handicap match of Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley and Jinder Mahal. And I was scratching my head as to why Finn Balor's in a handicap match.
Because it's a heel move to do. And then if he overcomes the odds, then he's earned it. Because we don't have automatic rematches anymore either. So it's like, well, if you win this handicap match, then you'll show you're worthy of an Intercontinental title match or
but
whatever.
But shouldn't someone have said that to him first?
Yes. Yes. There's a lot that went unsaid that you're just kind of going, okay, why? You know, if you explain why these three women are doing a Beat the Clock Challenge as opposed to just, you know, starting with it, especially after that. Look,
this is a very TNA opening segment between these two matches where we have a bunch of stipulations but no real premises to get to why we're having these
matches. Maybe Rhonda can explain it. She's cutting a promo at the top of the show, huh? How about that? Maybe
have her just come out and say, "I can beat anyone under 2 minutes, and you guys can't," and that's sort of the opening salvo of this, and the Riot Squad comes out, and they're annoyed that Ronda Rousey says things like
this. Yeah, there's not that second-level thinking. They're just, okay, we'll just have them all be, and you know what's going to happen in that, you know, next week they're having that six-woman challenge, or the six-woman tag match. It's the three participants of the Triple Threat versus the Riot Squad. I guarantee you that the final spot you see is all three of the women in the Triple Threat with submissions on the three members of the Riot Squad tapping it. And then it becomes that contrived, oh, what's going to happen when they all have to face each, you know, that kind of thing. That's the only reason they're doing the six woman tag match is to have that spot somewhere. I think it's going to be the finish, but it's an absolutely, you know.
I actually think the match goes the other way and the Riot Squad gets like a banana.
You know what? That's good call. Because we are in the land of 50-50. That's a very good call. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that. We're in Hot Takeville here tonight, kids. This is right after SmackDown, so I haven't been able to really think about things through just yet. But in order to help build this women's triple threat as well, we've decided to beat Asuka for the SmackDown Championship because now Charlotte can say she's held the most titles of any woman. And it makes the match, quote-unquote, bigger. I don't think it does.
Well, the match might even end up getting bigger and move to a fatal four-way.
No.
No? What do you think Asuka's
doing?
No,
I think Asuka's, like, in the Battle Royale and trying to win back something. Like, the winner gets a shot at the SmackDown Women's Championship on the SmackDown after Mania. And then she gets, like, a rematch or something. But I think there is a possibility that they make this a 2 out of 3 falls match with the first match for the SmackDown Women's Championship and the second one for the Raw. There's a chance of that. I don't know. Or they put both belts on the line for a unified Women's Championship, which if they're going to move the women's tag titles from show to show, you know, you put the tag titles on one show, you put the women's title on the other one, and then you just kind of go back and forth.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the women's champions traveling around from show to show. It's a different and fresh way to approach that division that gets them kind of doing new stuff all the time, from NXT UK to NXT to SmackDown to Raw. They can go all over the place.
Am I over the line in saying that I think cannibalizing Asuka here was a bad move?
No, I think it's a horrible move. Yeah.
Well, my reasoning is you're just barely building up anybody other than Charlotte and Becky on this SmackDown show as legitimate threats to anybody. Asuka hasn't really been established as having a dominant win as a champion against anyone since she won this title in the three-way. You kind of have something going here with Mandy.
And this is obviously a screw job, right? We're eventually going to get the reveal of how Charlotte got inserted into this no-reason title match to begin SmackDown.
No,
I think we are. I think Becky had a little kayfabe tweet earlier where she was talking about how Asuka deserves so much better. So I think a shoe will drop on this.
I think it'll just be McMahon's being McMahon's and saying, okay, go ahead. But, I mean...
But Charlotte ended up in that match because of a McMahon. That's what I'm saying. I think she pulled some strings.
Well, this was not the original plan from what I'm reading from, you know, our friend Sean Ross Sapp, you know, gets heads up on these things. And apparently there was supposed to be a multi-woman match to see who would face Asuka. And then they decided, I think after the Sports Center stuff and having the big reveal of the triple threat, to quote-unquote get more eyeballs and to kind of make this bigger... Okay, we're gonna have the second title be involved in this match, at least the second title holder, which to me, I think you want to just say, hey, look, we have a diverse division with multiple storylines going on as opposed to the one big storyline, because I don't think that tag match is going to be anything special. It's going to be an absolute train wreck, I think, in some places, because you have four different teams being involved there. I understand why what they're thinking, because I think they're thinking they've been hearing the chatter about Charlotte, and she's going to get 16 title wins anyways eventually, so let's make her much more of a threat, because neither Ronda nor Becky need it because they're both stars, but there's been this blowback from Charlotte, so let's make her presence even more menacing here. I understand that, but there was a way to do this. And they didn't earn the story that they were telling, because they were telling the story that Charlotte was upset that she's considered the third wheel in this match, and they never cut a promo about it. She didn't even cut a promo before that. She just goes, oh, I'm the third wheel, I'll show you what I can do. And it's like, okay, but that was unearned.
And I had a big problem with the finish of this match, too. So she beats Asuka, and after beating Asuka, is looking over at Asuka with a degree of respect. And I think if you want to make this moment a real defiling moment, what Charlotte should do is just be mercilessly beating up Asuka after getting this mm-hmm. title and being a total petulant brat. She didn't deserve this title shot. She shouldn't be somewhat graceful after winning the title.
I think they're attempting to tell the story of mutual respect, and that just doesn't work. It's wins and losses work, okay? I'm tired of being able to see the script notes in what they're thinking when, you know, ooh, but it wasn't...
Mutual respect works sometimes, but it doesn't work for this Charlotte character in this storyline right now. Like, if Becky beat Asuka in a title match this week, I'm not saying that they should have done that or anything, but if they had done that, I get Becky looking at Asuka with mutual respect and trying to show Asuka, hey, look, I really respect you, blah, blah, blah. That makes sense for the character of Becky Lynch that we have had for the last several months. It makes no sense for the entitled, genetically superior Charlotte Flair to be using.
Yeah, and also, you know, the arrogant Charlotte Flair. She should not be looking at,
right.
Yeah, she should be like,
she
I deserve this
title, Jeff. She's always deserved this title. Asuka was just holding the belt for her.
I don't know. I thought, okay, great. So they're just going to add Asuka to the Battle Royal. She'll win. That'll do about as much for her as the Royal Rumble win did, which was very little.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think she might find her way into that match eventually.
Wait,
but we'll see
wait. You think that they're going to change the I... Chris, you gotta walk. You gotta walk.
Are
me
you
through
not
this.
Telling me that the plans changed to put the belt on Charlotte this week?
Those plans changed.
Was that not the lead into your last piece of commentary?
Yes, but that was in service of building this three woman match where all three women were on SportsCenter. Asuka was nowhere near this build, and if she was going to be in this match, they would have put her on. They may have put, I mean, she's supposed to be able to do the media appearances too. You think they just slight her and keep her off TV? I mean, that's more insulting than not putting her on.
We'll see what happens. Plans change around here. That's all I'm saying.
That'd be interesting. I'm just blown away because I can't think of a situation where that would happen. I really don't. I think they've had the marketing.
Well, I
in
couldn't
place.
Have thought of a situation where Charlotte wins the SmackDown Women's title off of Asuka in the first hour of SmackDown 2 weeks before WrestleMania. Like, that wouldn't have been the plot move I would have made either, but, like, they're not our brains.
No.
They have different thoughts.
I had actually considered that. I think I had mentioned that a couple weeks back where they may just have, but that was in service of a pay-per-view. Like, I thought Charlotte would go into the pay-per-view and win the match and then bring the belt for the triple threat and go, okay, here we go. But, no, you might be right. I hold out an open mind towards them sticking Asuka as a, my issue is Asuka hasn't been built for this match. She won't be built for this match. She'll just be in there and everybody will look at her and go, you're losing. And everybody will know and everybody will be far ahead of it.
Unless they make it a best 2 out of 3 falls sort of thing, like you were saying, where the first fall is for the SmackDown Women's title and the second one is for the Raw Women's title.
Yeah, I mean, no.
That's
yeah.
how you keep people guessing.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, parents, people with children, now's the time to kind of skip ahead about 45 seconds to a minute. So guys, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go, where you had to take 4 cold showers in a day just to keep calm and whatnot? Yeah, those days. Oh, well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with BlueChew.com. That's blue, as in the color blue. We're not going that blue with the jokes. Blue Chew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. I am more of a fan of Cialis than Viagra, to be honest with you. I think it works a little bit better, but hey, your mileage may vary. You can take them any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. You know, it's not like those knockoffs you get from like overseas pharmacies in India with fillers where, you know, you don't know if they're going to work because you don't know how much of the ingredient they're going to have. These are the actual ingredients and whatnot. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. No, 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 no. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Or, you know, you can just take it and just walk around your apartment and impress your pets. That's what Chris is going to do with his free product. He's just going to look and he's going to have his cats play Limbo.
Wait, why would I? What? Don't use your Blue Chew for that. That's not how we interact with
Okay, I'm just checking, you know, okay. Scratching posts, okay. Well, you know, all that other stuff.
We've checked now. I don't advise that.
Anyhow,
cats.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so none of your neighbors are going to know you're sending away for ED medication of any kind, okay? There's no waiting in the pharmacy. There's no embarrassing talks with your doctor. There's no more awkwardness. And since they're made in the USA and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code STR, and just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code STR to try it for free. Those of you who have heard Sean Ross's saps reads for Blue Chew, you know they're hilarious, you know they're dirty. I didn't want to go that dirty. I may go dirty later. Chris is writing songs about medication and whatnot. We'll see.
Oh, I got the blues. Go to Blue Chew and you'll be singing along with me.
That's
Blue Chew.
That's fantastic. BlueChew.com. Promo code STR. That'll let all the sponsors know that you love us here at Shake Them Ropes. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring. Parents, you can now turn up your radios once again in safety.
Hello, I am Elias.
Oh, God, the bad comedy abounded on that Raw. That's a good segue.
There we go. Let's get back into it. So,
Chris, let me ask you something. Yes. Who is the Saturday Night Live cast member in history who you most want to see get into a ring full of jacked up guys who might beat the hell out of them?
I don't know. Those two guys are pretty high on the list. Those are the two guys who I want the fall out of the ring to hurt a little bit.
Look, the correct answer is Chris Kattan. Chris Kattan.
Well, that's a good one. Put in
this one. Rob Schneider, kind of on my list.
Fred Armisen has a very good, punchable face type of look.
And he's a real life creep. So that fits in well. We can go with that. Chevy Chase in his modern incarnation. See, I have love for Chevy Chase because of Fletch, but he is such an intolerable jerk.
Yeah, I was going to say, very funny movies, but everything you read about him from working with him, he was just an insufferable prick.
Now, Chris Farley, I think, would be fun to kind of watch in his prime. David
Farley
Spade.
And Otis facing off in a battle royal would just be good fun right there. Come on.
There
now.
We go. We get those. You know, maybe David Spade gets thrown around. Martin Short from back in the day. I think Joe Piscopo, when he got all buff and stuff, could have gone in jacked and really done it. I think for vignettes, because I'm just rolling here, Chris. I'm just talking. I think John Lovitz back in the day. If he had been able to cut promos as like Tommy Flanagan, the liar, I think that would have been fun. But yes, I want to see Colin Jost and Michael Che.
I want misfortune to come to them.
But
they've done a good job making me want bad things to happen to them. I don't know how much of that is the scripting and how much of that is just being born with a punchable face.
Now, if this ends with Kate McKinnon doing a moonsault, it will all be worth it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm into that.
She's great. She's fantastic. I love her. She's the only thing worth watching on Saturday Night Live these days, in my opinion. But, Braun's going to kill these fools, I think. Or it's going to become one of those things where they save
Braun.
They're going
to, hide under the ring. It's going to be, a gimmick where they, run around in the audience and that sort of thing, and Strowman's out in the audience, and meanwhile, there's a battle royal occurring as well. It's going to be a skit.
No, you know what I see? I see someone like Jinder Mahal trying to get heat on them, and then they help rescue Braun from Jinder Mahal, and then it's all a love fest, and then Nicholas comes in, and then we have every, stupid comedy character we've ever had with Braun, and it's a big love fest. It'll be great.
The whole premise of this angle is so dumb. Every beat in this angle has been dumb so far, right down to Braun Strowman destroying the car for no real reason and being angry that he got a car. None of this makes any sense.
My God, that's Dennis Miller's music.
Dennis Miller, it'd be fun to have him get on commentary with Graves and Graves to just grow endlessly frustrated with Miller over the span of about 10 minutes.
You know, babe, I haven't seen a souple like that since Nick Bockwinkel did it in Minnesota versus the Crusher back in 1973.
No one knows what you're talking about, Dennis. We get it. You read books. Okay.
I haven't seen a beatdown like that since Ulysses did it in the...
Yeah, right. No, it would be really deep Roman references and stuff. Yeah.
There hasn't been a thorough thrashing like that since Pickett's charge during the Civil War at the Battle of Gettysburg, babe.
He's storming like the Normans.
Oh, God. I don't know.
You want to get into Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns?
You beat cancer, but you'll never beat me.
Oh, man.
That's your build.
This actually, it had that groan thing happen with the audience where it was just a beat too far and you could feel that weird pressure drop thing in the audience where we go from booing enthusiastically along with the show to, I didn't want to go that far, dude. I didn't want to go there.
Yeah, you know what? The corollary for me was Shane McMahon's promo about, which by the way, featured the word decimate from both The Miz and Shane. So one of Vince's favorite words makes a comeback, but you know, there's a certain level of realism I want, and there are certain things you will say that make me know it's not real. And that's just, all right, you're just being cheap now. I mean, there's a way you can say, you know, you can bring up
his
cancer.
They've gotten so lazy with getting heat. Can I go on like a quick rant real quick
about this? Please, the floor is yours.
Because for the last, I don't know, 8 weeks now, we have, and it's been more than 8 weeks, but in the last 8 weeks, we've really noticed a marked uptick in the cheap, lazy, local sports heat. And then we got into this cancer heat stuff, and it's lazy. There are more constructive and meaningful ways to get heat than this. And in a lot of cases, you turn people off. Now, the sports stuff, it tends to get decent feedback, and especially depending on where you are in a season, if it's been a rough season for your local municipality, the sports heat can be super cathartic. Obviously, we had the great success in Seattle when Elias went after the Seattle Supersonics, but that set them on a course of, okay, let's always have the sports heat button. Let's hit the sports heat button all the time. And then they start doing this with the Roman thing, and it's turning people off. I think they think that they can keep doing this cheap heat stuff, but even at a certain point, the audience recognizes it as pandering.
There is a kind of heel that can get away with the cancer statement. There is a certain kind of heel who you know, he's smarter than most average jocks and average wrestlers, and he's just kind of sitting there with kind of a smirk on his face, listening to a babyface give a promo or something.
Speaking from the heart, and he knows that he can push that heart button.
And he's holding that ace up his sleeve, just waiting to play it, and you can tell he's waiting to play it. Drew McIntyre's promo is not that guy. That guy is more of a, and
I don't really know what Drew McIntyre's motivation is right now. Like, in Drew's mind, what's the end game here?
Yeah, it's, I'm the best. I came here to dominate the locker room. A lot of losers in the locker room, you know, kind of thing. And you're just like, okay, great. It's more sucking up to the boss type thing. You want to be the best, whatever. I'd much rather, if he's going to cut a promo about Roman's cancer, I would much rather he go out and go, you know what? I want to take you out now because you're probably weak because of all the treatments. You're not quite yet in shape. This is my moment to just get rid of you once and for all type of promo, rather than whatever the hell. Your wife and child are going. It's like, okay. You know,
yeah, then, you go out to the audience and you say something like, to all these people, your story is inspirational. They hear your story, and they get strength from your story. I hear your story, and I hear weakness. I hear a man who's weaker now than he's ever been before. And at WrestleMania, I'm going to break that weak man once and for all.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna give you a little bit of criticism on that one, because I don't want you to say I hear weakness in your voice. You say you give strength to all these people, but I know you're weak. I know you've been out for a while, Roman. I know you're not physically able to handle the rigors of this ring.
Well, it's not
and I'm going to take
voice,
advantage of it.
Weakness in the story. Like the same story that's inspiring is also the same story of a man who came back from weakness to, you know, is trying to reclimb the mountain, is sort of my point.
Yeah, but you have to kind of reestablish his health in terms of, as opposed to I hear weakness. That's a very Vince line, and that's why I kind of recoiled by it, because he's not sounding weak when he's saying that, and he's not really giving false bravado when he's saying that. But Drew as a heel would hear that and go, "Yeah, but you've been out with getting chemotherapy all these weeks. You're not the Roman Reigns who we used to know here. You're
that's
not
what I'm
the
saying.
Big
when
dog.
I'm saying he hears weakness, yeah. That's what I'm saying he's
yeah,
hearing.
Yeah, no, I knew
he's
that.
He's
I knew
hearing,
that.
You know, the other space in the music.
Yeah, I knew what you're trying to say. It's just the way that was phrased for some reason. It sounded like, man, that's exactly how Vince would
That's how Vince it. Would phrase it. Yeah. That was the other thing, I was trying to write it like a Vince promo.
Yeah, and that would be how he'd write it, and I'd go, I don't believe that. And then I'd just kind of move on with my life. No, I get that. Yeah,
Well, you have this, to also, you have to explain why you hear weakness in something that apparently sounds like strength.
This program is so weird, though, because usually a Roman Reigns program is fairly a big deal, but right now I count this as like fourth from the top, and it feels almost like they're just trying to run out Dean Ambrose and get as much out of him as they can to try and, you know, help the program until we get there.
Yes, yes. I have a hunch that Drew McIntyre actually finds a way to beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I don't know that Roman wins. Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Okay, we'll save it for the prediction show next week.
Yeah, but we'll
watch the go home. Watch
yes,
the go
yeah,
home
yeah, the
and
go
see
home,
what
the
happens.
The go home will
yeah.
be the big thing here. Yeah. But yeah, that'll be something to take a look at. So then we had Natalya with Beth Phoenix defeating Sasha Banks with Bayley by disqualification here, because this match ended when Nia Jax and Tamina ended up showing up.
There's so much weird about this.
I know. Like, I tripped over my words here because of the weird little way that they wrap this thing up.
Well, no. It's like Nia and Tamina come out. They beat the crap out of everybody. Now we're going to show Natty's dad.
And then Natty's crying after the video of Jim
Neidhart.
Which
makes me more uncomfortable. It's like, why would you do that to someone? Hey, Natty, look, we're putting your daddy in the Hall of Fame. Now cry, girl. Cry for me. It's like, oh, I feel dirty. I feel nasty watching that for some reason. Champ loses. Yeah, we're getting a four-way at Mania. It's going to be a bit of a mess, I think. But, I mean, there's so many of these matches that are now, like, multi-person that you can't. I mean, everybody has to get on the card, so.
We've already talked about, essentially, what happened in the Moment of Bliss, because we talked about Colin Jost and Michael Che. Is there anything you want to talk about specifically with Bliss?
I think Bliss is the last remaining single star that they're going to have after this three-way. In terms of those people that are in it, because Bliss is, I think basically she's going to use the host thing. She'll come out, she'll congratulate the winner and probably jump her. I think that's probably the way that they're going to go with that. But let me ask you this, because I need a bit of cleanup, and then I'll circle back around to Sasha, Bayley, et cetera, et cetera. So for the Finn Balor match, is he facing Lashley and Leo Rush for the Intercontinental title?
Is that how it works? I think he's just facing Lashley.
Okay.
And now we've once again this week reestablished no discord between Lashley and Leo Rush.
Yes. Yes. They're on again and off again, and now they're on again. For Bayley and Sasha, the news that the Triple Threat was headlining WrestleMania has to eat a little bit in the pride of Bayley and Sasha, who really, look, I know Gina Carano is really the pioneer here. Ronda did it for UFC. But in terms of WWE women who really got them on the map, it was Bayley and Sasha in Brooklyn. And I could just see Sasha wanting to, like, jump off a balcony just to upstage people, because that's what she is. She's competitive as hell. And I think they want a really great tag team match, and I think they are serious about these tag team titles to them. You're putting them in with Nia and Tamina and the Iconics and Natty, who's good, and Beth Phoenix, who we don't know yet how she's going to do in a big match situation. I'm just like, wow. I mean, you have to be a little crestfallen for them.
Yeah, I just want to see Sasha and Bayley have a good, clean, normal, long-form 20-minute match as tag team champions.
And a good match,
yeah.
You know, with people who can go with them. And you know, that's why I hype the Sky Pirates so much. I want that match so bad. I want to see the legitimacy that they talked about with the men's tag team titles that they really haven't given them, because they can go out there on this house show circuit and kill every night, which apparently they're doing, according to some reports, and get absolutely no respect on Raw, getting beat again by Ricochet and Aleister Black, who I don't know what they're doing with those two other than putting them on Raw, because their build is on NXT. Here, they're just two guys. I'm... you know, it's a lot of just beating champs and belts not meaning anything, and this is the build that WrestleMania, and then, you know, Monday and Tuesday it'll be a bunch of more debuts and other things like that. I reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm cynical about this WrestleMania.
Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens in the go-home show, but I'm not exactly ecstatic about the build to this WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Next, we had Seth Rollins' promo about Brock Lesnar. He says that he has to beat Brock Lesnar. He was born to beat Brock Lesnar. The fans are behind him. And before he could say, burn it down, out comes Paul Heyman. You know the spot in this promo that I actually did like? Because I thought a lot of this was kind of draggy. I liked when Seth Rollins finally ran up on Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman fell over and was exhibiting fear. No one came to Heyman's rescue, but Seth Rollins just stood over a sniveling and whining Paul Heyman and finished out this promo. I thought
no,
that
I
part
agree.
Was pretty good.
That staging was awesome because it's like, I don't need to hurt you. I'm confident in my own abilities.
Dominance. I'm standing yeah. over you right now. I haven't even
no,
laid
I,
a finger on you.
I like that
you.
A lot. No, that was great. I liked that. I liked that quite a bit. I'm actually liking the Seth Rollins build, but it's taken such a backseat to the Roman build for some reason. And it's also taken a little bit of a backseat to the women's build where you're just like, do you think they're going to give him the big moment now? And I have my doubts. I honestly have my doubts.
Yeah, I don't know. I still go back to Drew McIntyre beating Seth Rollins last week and think that that's a bit of a seeds planted for after Mania thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another one where the go-home show is going to probably really form my opinion
yeah.
on how.
A lot is going to be formed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we got Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe with a finish that if you blinked, you missed it because they did not go back to it. This was not good, Jeff. This was real rough. At one point, Kurt Angle attempted a missile drop kick, but it was more of a dud.
This stinks. This program, I get the farewell tour. I get that he's now getting the TNA farewell tour, kind of, between this and the AJ Styles thing.
This could be good, but this stinks.
He has looked actively bad.
Yeah.
In the last couple of matches. And he gets Rey Mysterio next week.
Oh.
He's not able to do much. He's not able to move his head. He's heavily breathing within like 5 minutes of the start of the match. He looks bad here. And they're giving him wins where you're going, why is he retiring if he's winning so much?
Yeah, it doesn't help either. Right.
I liked the fact that Orton came in to abort the match tonight. I thought that was a smart idea. I thought that was very savvy on their part. I know a lot of people wanted to see this AJ Styles, Kurt Angle,
they
you know,
wanted to
20
see the
minute
thing.
Classic.
Yeah, they wanted to see the thing in their head from 2011 or something, but that's
not
this.
Yeah, or even further back, yeah. Yeah, it's not this. It's look, let's just get through this as quick as we can.
Yeah. Oh, Kurt. It sucks that it has to end like this, because I wish it could end with more glory and more reverence for the guy, and this is more just rough.
I'd much rather have one last great match than a bunch of middle to decent matches.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I really would. I'm sad it's like this, but again, we've been mentioning that he hasn't seemed like a big deal for a long time. So
then we got a Triple H promo, and this sort of further confused this story a little bit to me with the letter from Batista's lawyer, and then Triple H is like, haha, I did form Evolution as just a way to help me hang on to the belt the whole time. That makes me smart, which is not exactly a super sympathetic thing. But that did draw a laugh from the crowd here, and he then made the I'll tell you what I want, I really, really want joke off of the promo from last week. I am just having a hard time following this story now. It's like just people talking. It's Hunter and Batista talking at each other.
This should be far more heated than it is, and it's not. And this was smarky, you know, reading internet Twitter comments, self-aware, NXT Triple H in many ways, in my opinion. It's like, oh, your agent wanted to
the dry move microphone the joke, like basically went over my head. He had to explain it afterwards. I needed the little handout explainer guide to go along with that joke.
Yeah, this is, man. If I could really deconstruct this. This is the same kind of crap he used to do as a performer when he was on a build with someone that you knew he was going to beat, and he'd kind of subtly bury them in the promos up until it's like, you're not really at my level, you're not this, you're not that, but then it'll be like, he'll sell for a guy in a match, like the Booker T build is everything I'm thinking this is, but with a lot more insidery comments that I think it's just... It's eschewing the reality of the story for the reality of life, and it's not working for me.
And he wants to get these digs in at Guardians of the Galaxy, and I always look back to that and go, this company completely bungled the last run with Batista because people in management, people making booking decisions, did not think that Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be a successful movie, which I'm sure to everyone's ears in March, nearly April of 2019, sounds like an incredibly stupid thing to think, but that was the thing that was thought.
It's incredible to me that this company does not root for the success of its performers when they get outside interest from Hollywood, because then their thin skin comes out and it's like, well, we're really show business too. I mean,
they wanted Guardians to fail. This has always been my theory, because
they wanted to
prove to Batista that this was the best place for him to make the most money.
Look, they wanted Guardians to fail, but don't get me wrong. Dave made films before this. They wanted Dave to fail and have to come back and go, man, I really couldn't make it out there in Hollywood. I'm not as talented as I thought. You guys really see what I have, and you guys really know how to make me a star. They don't. And I'm just like, it's so... And you know, it's a company that's had its toe in the movie pool. It's never gotten that far with them. Triple H himself has headlined a couple of these movies. He's had interest from movie studios, and he's never gotten to go, really, because I think Vince would have frowned on it. And it's just, they did this with The Rock, but...
Yeah, but they're salty about The Rock. Vince learned the wrong lessons from The Rock becoming a super mega star.
Yes, and he wanted to make sure that didn't happen to other people.
Right.
And I think he's salty a little bit about John Cena, although John Cena's not seeing... John Cena's success is very underrated. Because out here in Hollywood, people really want to cast him in stuff. They just can't figure out if he's a comedy guy or if he's an action guy. They're having a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, and I think he kind of straddles the line between both, almost like an alternative Jason Statham at one point.
He's too jacked to cast as
a comedy
lead
guy, but he's also too funny and too much of like a lovable type of person to be straight action Rambo style.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you could do the Bruce Willis thing with him.
Right.
But there's already a Bruce Willis. So,
well, yes, except that Bruce Willis is in AARP at this point, Jeff. There does need to be a new Bruce Willis at some point.
Right, but he's not that personal. They kind of have that with Chris Pratt a little bit here, but, I mean, they don't make movies like Die Hard anymore where you can have the smart-alecky, wisecracking action hero, and plus, old Dwayne is trying to remake Die Hard in his own image with skyscrapers, so that's kind of a problem in its own right. But yeah, they have a bit of a problem casting him. They don't really know what he is, and they don't know if he's that big of a movie star, if he's more of a TV star type thing. But I mean, you hear rumblings here and there about projects that you know, maybe we could put him in this, maybe we can put him in that. Unfortunately, I think a lot of those are also superhero projects, and I'm not sure he wants to do those.
Do you want to move over to this gauntlet match on SmackDown? Because we hit the other notes on SmackDown so far here.
No, we can hit everything on SmackDown. I kind of want to start with the Shane McMahon thing.
Okay.
That promo was bad. Just from the decimate to the... I held your father and I could feel the fear. I mean, that there was something in there with that, but then, you know, and yo mama. And that just sets off Miz. I'm just like, okay, great.
And then Miz goes into God mode and beats up 12 different people, essentially. And that is just overkill for The Miz. That's not who The Miz is. The Miz should have outsmarted those people and gotten around all 12 of those people and gotten to Shane, and Shane's in a jam and he needs to split.
It's every how do I describe this? You ever watch movies and it's like taking place like amongst gang culture, or, you know, at an urban high school or something, and there's the tough guy and someone says yo mama and he overreacts to a point where it's almost comedic? Don't you dare talk about my mother like that. That was The Miz here.
And then it kind of turned into the story of Ricky. Ricky O.
Yeah, a bit.
Beating up everybody.
Pretty much. I'm false count anywhere. It's weird. What did you think of the stipulation?
I think the stipulation is to set up Miz having to go through multiple people during this match. I think he will run into sanity again.
It's weird because I'm watching this and I'm thinking the stipulation on a match should mirror the reason for why you're having it. So I thought they were possibly building up, okay, Shane, if I beat you, I get to punch your dad.
No, and I was like, I'm all for that. We're overthinking this. What the match is going to do is finish with some sort of high spot on the outside, and they want to go for the fall right then after that last high spot.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe this goes backstage, but at the same time, this is MetLife Stadium. This isn't a little arena, so I don't think that happens. I think it's just...
Well, that might be precisely why it happens, to do like a little bit of The Rock and Mankind 2.0, fight all over
the
arena.
Well, you think they start the match and then they just go back to it later?
That would actually be kind of funny. The match just keeps going and it's just rolling throughout the night.
Who did they do that with? That was Batista and... Some of us, like, it involved, like, getting in a car and driving away.
Yes.
And then coming back,
right,
like, an hour later.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's The Miz and Shane. I expect this to be kind of more of a skit than a match. I don't expect them to have a clinic here. Although I am now interested in what they're going to do with babyface The Miz after Mania. I think that there's an interesting feud there with Sanity.
See, I want this match so bad to go backstage and they're just brawling and someone yells at him, you can't be here, and it's like Vince. And Miz just looks at him, punches him, and keeps going. You know, I want that opposite reaction, opposite and equal reaction, a Miz getting to punch Shane's father.
Ends with the Miz's dad doing something to Shane to set up the finish here. And so we need to have this be false count anywhere because the Miz's dad's going to be out in the audience.
That's very true because it's no DQ.
So
dad can help here, maybe Maurice too, and, you know, they throw the baby at him. You know, they do all that stuff. The gauntlet match... The best part of this was the Usos, because it's the one thing that made sense.
That was
it's the one
great.
Thing that made sense.
That was awesome. I really liked that spot. When they said, we forfeit, it was such an interesting, simple, obvious, but powerful move. And it didn't make the Usos' characters look weak in any way, shape, or form. It did a lot to really advance that storyline. I liked that a lot.
I liked it a lot, too. You know what would have enhanced it a little bit? If the Good Brothers, if Gallows and Anderson had been either reluctant or had just laid down for him. Because it's like, yeah, I don't feel good about this opportunity. I was ordered to come out here against my will. You know, the heels are going to be heelish. They're going to come out and go, yeah, we're going to kick your butt just to blow your chance. But the baby faces being forced into this match, you're kind of like, well, let's see a little remorse from these two. But you know what? They're so forgettable at this point that I understand why they did. But the Usos doing that, I knew it was coming, and it still made me happy that they paid it off.
I was actually more worried that this week they were just going to be switched into heel mode for no reason, because this company has also been doing a lot of no reason turns recently too.
I suspected that a little bit too, but at the same time when they had the mic
Yes, and they right. Did, once they grabbed the mic,
yeah,
I was like, okay, I see where we're going here. And then eventually Daniel Bryan and Rowan come out, and this is sort of anticlimactic. I think that the New Day should have just been able to get a pin over Rowan. I like the throwing the table on Rowan's spot. I think it keeps him looking strong. I think it would have even been a little bit better if Daniel Bryan had been over there trying to get the table up too, like right in like the last like 3 seconds, like 7, 8, 9, and 10, they're trying to get the table up off of Rowan. But I liked that. It was an okay way of getting out of this match.
It was pretty much the same thing as last week, except with tag teams.
Yes.
But it might be feeding the seeds of Big E sacrificing himself for Kofi and Kofi not being grateful should he win the title.
I'm interested to see what the fallout is next week on this. I was wondering if maybe we end up with like Kofi having to fight the New Day in order to get his title shot.
Vince McMahon was actively terrible all night. He was bad on his promo to begin the show. He was bad on the promo with Kayla to end the show. He has no sense of delivery. He just kind of garbles his way through stuff. He really did not know how to achieve the menace that he wanted to achieve in this.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's the emotional detachment that I keep latching on. It's even less the diction stuff, although I'll have to go back and listen to that too. It's more that when he is saying the dialogue, he doesn't feel connected to it, and it's weird to me just because Vince has such an active hand in writing all of this stuff. I'd at least assume that he knows what his character's doing in this.
Yeah, it's I mean, he's not a good actor on here. He's it was weird. I did love though Daniel Bryan's promo talking about the New Day. Hey, we just call up three guys from NXT and call them Fresh Afternoon and have them throw waffles into the audience. And I forgot who said it offhand, but someone said Montez Ford already looking up waffle irons. I mean, Daniel Bryan is making gold out of straw here. He's taking he's polishing these turds something fierce.
I liked when he
character.
Had the tantrum backstage with Eric Rowan. I just
this
thought that was very funny.
Bull crap.
Amazing.
Yeah, I and it's weird because they're not really characterizing him throughout this entire build. They've kind of cooled off on his character development to help build Kofi because, you know, Daniel Bryan would kind of overshadow him. But at the same time, he's not weakened by any of this. It's interesting, but at the same time, it's kind of like you wish this feud was a little bit stronger. I did not like the curtain call at the end of this show. It felt so forced.
Yeah, it felt forced.
They just come running out.
Yes, it's the fact that they're trying to do a lot of these things in a sort of unearned way. Like, even the Kofi Mania thing is a very... It doesn't feel earned. And I think, you know, the Kofi Mania angle actually is not a bad idea. I just think that you maybe start doing this and getting the crowd organically into this and planting the seeds with that, with this audience 8, 9 months ago, you know, and have this kind of really building to a crescendo now to where that curtain call doesn't feel like a force. Whereas in trying to do this 8, 9 weeks ago, now that we're trying to do this curtain call, yeah, it feels like we're rushing.
Oh, yeah. No. When they did the Yes Movement story, I proposed that they pulled the trigger on that thing way too quick. They had something where they could have done guerrilla marketing over a number of cities with the hashtag yes or hashtag yes movement and really made it into more of a cultural phenomenon than they did. Here, they could have built up hashtag Kofi Mania for weeks and really gotten the crowd into a lather. And they just kind of wanted to do the whole, well, McMahon's are in the story, so that'll make it hot. Type of thing, and just like they don't know how to build stories outside of the realm of office politics, and that's a shame.
Anything else you want to hit on this episode?
Nope. I do want to plug our Patreon episode that dropped on Monday. We watched WCW Saturday Night from December 26th.
We're getting ready for WCW's show of the year in 1992 as y'all are getting ready for WrestleMania 2019, WWE's show of the year. We're getting ready for Starrcade, Battle Bowl. The next premium episode will be on Battle Bowl, but this is the WCW Saturday Night from December 26th, 1992, 2 days before the middle of the week Starrcade that WCW did that year. I'm still getting over that. They like tape it on like a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
You can pick that up at patreon.com/shakethemropes for as little as $1 a month. Also, I will still hype the hell out of that Jerry Lawler, Andy Kaufman show that we did. That was one of our better ones. Not that any of them are bad. I've enjoyed every single premium episode we've done. That's patreon.com/shakethemropes. You can follow me at crapgame13. You can follow Chris at Chris Novembrino. Chris, tell the people where else they can find you.
My other show is called Don't Worry About the Government, and you can find that at don'tworry.tv on iTunes and on Stitcher. All in the Family podcast will be back soon. We had an injury in the family, not me, but my co-host. She is on the recovery trail here, so we're waiting for her to get better, and then we'll be back on the air.
Once again, we'd like to thank BlueChew.com for their sponsorship of this show. Promo code STR. Go visit them or give them some love. We'll be back Thursday with NXT UK, NXT, and 205 Live.
I got the blues.
Here it comes again, lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.